You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
And across from me is the illustrious Devin Masters, the greatest producer in the world.
Don't suck up now. People hear it, but you know.
It was a lovely intro. I'm giving you credit. It was very good. And I told you we could have used you. We could. You didn't. Decided not to. Damage is done.
Hey, John. How you doing, John? are we going to talk some basketball? Because we're coming up on basketball season. Coming up on basketball season.
Yeah. How many days are we to?
I believe it's 29 till the first preseason game.
First preseason game is on the 28th. First Jazz preseason game is on the 29th. So we are less than a month away from having something.
And that first preseason game for the Jazz is against the, I know Perth is all I can think of. The name of it, it leaves my mind. I remember it was the Australian team. So I'm hoping to be there that night too. But yes, basketball is almost here. Oh, and football is here, right? Football. I mean, we are going to talk basketball because that's what we do. But football, college football starts this weekend. In fact, hey, local teams kicked off last night. Devin's former college team against his favorite college, one of his favorite college teams, right, Devin?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Utes and Weber State.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk some basketball.
Yeah, let's do basketball first. Let's jump right into the Utah Jazz. John, you had put something in here that I think I had seen the other day about something from Hoops Hype.
Yes. First of all, it's the Perth Wildcats.
Oh, thank you.
And second, Hypes was doing their projections of the top 30 centers. So naturally, I'm going to go in there and see where Rudy is. And they had Rudy ranked as third. They had Anthony Davis as number one. And if you're going to call him a center, then I can't really argue with that. And then they had Joel Embiid number two, with Rudy third. So it made me really think about that. So I went and looked at their numbers from last year. And last year, Embiid had more scoring, but in just about everything else, Rudy was the better player. He had better win shares, better net rating, all kinds of different categories. So I think it's just fodder for Rudy to show that he's not third to anybody.
No, I agree. I'm okay with Anthony Davis at number one. I am. Anthony Davis, see, to me, Anthony Davis is a good mix of a really, really good scorer and really good defender. I mean, so is Joel Embiid, but I think Davis is better by far.
Yeah.
So I would say I have issue with the ranking, but I don't, although I would put Rudy ahead of Embiid. But everybody out there that wants to rank wants to talk about offensive production, and they want to say that Rudy is not your offensive type player. But the crazy thing is you get into advanced statistics, Rudy's actually a very efficient offensive player, and he gets offense going in more ways than just with himself. Am I right?
Yes, that's very true.
So,
you know, I'm glancing at the Pelicans roster to see who their centers are. And yeah, I think they're going to be Davis as a center. Julius Randle can play at the five. That Lakers, his natural position.
Okay, so hold on a second. I started losing you there. You were kind of cutting in and out. You said Julius Randle what?
Well, I was looking at who's on their roster, who would start with Davis. I am guessing they would start Julius Randle, and he can play five. He did a lot of five, but I think with Davis, he'd be playing the four.
And I thought last year they had Davis at the five mostly anyway. Even with DeMarcus Cousins, I thought he ran at the five while Cousins ran at the four, didn't he?
No, Cousins was the five.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's a topic worth debating, and will probably be debated for a good time, really, I think. For as long as Rudy and Embiid continue to be in this league, you're going to get that constant discussion about who the best center is.
One other thing I wanted to bring up on the Jazz. I was looking around at the 538 model and where they had the season, the teams ranked for the season, their projections for the season. And they have the Jazz tied for second in the West. They project the Jazz to be a 54-win team to tie with Houston.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
That is interesting. Devin, you had something to throw in?
No, the rankings there, if you will, it's just so tough because it depends on what you're looking for.
Right.
Because what you get from Gobert is very different from what you get from Embiid. And I think if you ask anyone in Philly, they'd say, no, we want Embiid. And if you ask anyone in Utah, they're going to say, we want Gobert. And that's fine. I think they both fit the needs of their teams well. And I think they're very comparable players in terms of their impact on the game.
Absolutely.
Embiid gives you that stretch opportunity that that Gobert does not. But Gobert is clearly a better defender and has his way of impacting the game, you know, on the defensive end. And
right.
Like you said, he's a very good offensive player.
Very
as well.
Impactful on the offensive end.
But yeah, Anthony Davis is like a generational talent when it comes to playing that five spot, if he's going to play the five spot.
Oh yeah.
You know,
especially when you look at what he did in the playoffs this last year too. Holy crap.
He has that combination almost of Embiid and Gobert together.
Right.
You know, he has that stretch shot. He has elite athleticism that you don't get with either of the next two guys, and he's also a fantastic defender because of that athleticism. So,
he's been in the discussion of defensive player in the year, or at least two of the years that I know of.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, he should be in the discussion for MVP. I think he was right up there last year when it comes to him. It was basically him, Harden, and LeBron in my eyes. So yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay, John, that was the only news you had for Jazz. I want to throw something else in and get your thoughts on this. You're going to like this. I got a text the other day from one of our listeners, very good friend, Brett, Brett Austin, who sent me a text and said, NBA 2K18 has an all-time Jazz team. Can you guess the starting five? So I'm going to ask you, could you guess the starting five of the NBA 2K18 all-time Jazz team?
Let's see. I'm going to guess Stockton, Hornacek, Karolinko, Malone, Eaton.
I don't think so.
You got three of those right. Devin, give a shot.
I'm going to say Stockton, Pistol Pete, Dantley, Malone, and Eaton.
That's the starting five. You got it. Spot on. That's I wondered too, and he responded with that. Here are other names that were on that team off the bench. And a couple of these you're going to go, what? Darren Williams, Daryl Griffith, Jeff Hornacek, Gordon Hayward, Andre Kirilenko, Carlos Boozer, Paul Millsap, Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert, and Big Al.
Yeah, some of those, yep. I don't know.
That was the bench. So there's your Utah Jazz all-time starting five on NBA 2K18, and then some of the bench players.
Big Al?
Yeah.
Over Greg Ostertag?
I don't know if Ostertag was on that list or not, because I'm sure there was more. Those were just some of the names. I mean, we had starting five, then we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, I guess that's right. That's 15. So, yeah, he read me all the names from the 2K18. Interesting group of names.
You know, it's funny to think about. Like, I was thinking, oh, does Boozer belong in that list? He was incredible, you know, when he played in Utah. But I realized that there's a 20-year span there where we didn't really have another power forward. You know what I mean? We're actually very lucky to be able to say, oh, there's Stockton, and then there's also Darren Williams. You know what I'm getting at here? You picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But the center spot, I'm glad we have Rudy.
Me too.
I think Big Al's your third option on that rotation.
And I actually have no problem with Big Al on that list. I mean, Big Al, the Wheezy.
He was a 99 guy.
He was a what?
The 3 years he was here, he was a 19-9 guy.
Oh yeah, he was great. And he'd get people that with that Wheezy every single night. Fake you, go right up and under, and bam. I know. Don't give me the weird look, Devin. It was Big Al.
It was 3 years.
3 years of some good basketball from Big Al.
I really don't care. I'd rather have Fasenko on there just for whatever reason we can think of.
Fasenko! Okay, anyway. All right. Let's move on to other NBA news and notes.
Wait. Can we talk about something?
Oh, wait. What did we forget?
There's. I need to find it. But the NBA 2K starting team rankings were leaked. Did you guys see that?
I did.
I did.
Did you
not
recall what they were? I got to find them.
No, I didn't really look at it. I've seen some people talk about how Rubio and Ingles are too low. Yeah. That they wound up giving Carmelo and Ingles the same ranking.
Okay, I think I remember seeing something about this. Yes.
Let's see if I can find it. Sorry, guys. I know that.
Well, I went on to NBA News and Notes. This fits NBA News and Notes. I mean, just as much as it's Jets. So we're good. We're good.
But I want to say that Rubio was a 77.
Sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
I mean, sounds about right in what I read.
Okay.
Don't go there. I said in what I read. I think that's what I saw as well. Not sounds about right that it's, oh my gosh, whatever.
Because I want to say that a certain Trey in Atlanta was ranked higher than that.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'll ask this question. John, you saw on the Locked On Sports Facebook page, a guy posted a poll who will be the starting point guard within 3 years. Do you remember that?
No.
So, and
let me go to the page.
Locke talked about it on his podcast yesterday morning, too. He says there's some great discussion on the page, but one of the things he brought up was this guy's poll, and it was something, it was Rubio, it was Dante, and something else about the depth chart. Interesting to see the results of who people thought would be the starting point guard for the Jazz within 3 years, which basically that 3 years is at the end of Dante's contract. And I think Dante was getting the most votes, actually.
I'm not finding the poll, but I did find the Jazz 2K numbers.
Okay.
Rubio 77, Mitchell 87, Ingles 79, Favors 79, Gobert 87.
Do those seem about accurate? Now, the problem that we run into, at least for me, I tend to think of this on like a grading scale. And I'm like, oh, is Rubio a C-plus player? That's not necessarily how it is. You have to think that like 90 is like a set all-star. You know, I think there's maybe one or two players that are going to get a 99 ranking. So do those numbers seem right to you? Is someone too high? Is someone too low?
I don't play NBA 2K, so I don't know how to compare to other numbers. If I could look at the numbers of all the starters, I would be able to say, okay, this is too high, this is too low.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. But, okay, I found the poll. Yeah, I don't know, Devin. I don't know much about NBA 2K18 numbers. I just don't. So, in the meantime, I found the poll. Oh, you voted. It just shows that you voted.
I did. Found it.
Dante was leading yesterday, but today it's Ricky. 109 votes for Ricky. The question was, I'm very optimistic about improvement we could see out of Dante, but I also see him being a third guard for us over the next few years. Whom do you see being the starting point guard for the Jazz in 3 years, in parentheses, the final year of Dante's new three-year deal? 109 votes for Ricky, only 34 for Dante, and there were actually 18 votes for another PG, and in parentheses, etc. Do you agree with the results of that poll?
It's hard to say. Rubio's going to be a free agent next summer, and so it really is down to that. Lexi might be able to work out.
It really comes down to what? So,
it really comes down to Ricky's next deal.
Right.
This is his year, and it all comes down to next summer. If he re-signs with the Jazz next summer, then he's going to be the starting point guard as long as he's here.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, guys, I found you a comp. I found you a comp.
Okay.
Because I just wanted to throw this out there. I just did a quick Google search and found the Wizards rankings.
Okay.
Okay. So John Wall got an 89. So 2 points better than Mitchell or Gobert.
I love John. What? And when that came through as what, there was a beep too. It's almost perfect to make it sound like what the? Yeah, anyway.
Bradley Beal received an 87.
Okay.
Otto Porter Jr. and Dwight Howard both received an 81.
And Rudy was where again?
Rudy was 87. An 87.
Oh.
And then Markieff Morris got a 77.
So interesting.
When you think about impact, I know we're talking different positions here, but Dwight Howard being an 81, is he a better player than Ricky Rubio is, and then Joe Ingles is, then Derek Favors is?
And see, I'm not a gamer, so I don't understand all these numbers. I know, Tyler, I know you're listening, because I know you listen to us. You're going to have to tweet at us and help us understand all these rankings and why and how it all works out, and maybe help us understand whether this is good or bad. Because I don't understand the rankings in games. I don't know how it all works out.
They're just numbers.
And I know that...
Is this number better than that number?
I know that Donovan was out there pushing for a higher dunk rating, too, in the game, and he got it.
Oh, so, yeah. I think he's a 99 dunker now.
So anyway, Tyler, I'd love your input on this. So I know you'll hear this, so you'll have to tweet out to us when you do. I'd be curious.
Here. We'll do the Lakers. Lakers is a good one.
We have
time.
Okay.
We'll just do Lakers.
Okay.
Rondo, 79. 2 points better than Ricky Rubio. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 76. LeBron James is a 98. Should be a 99, let's be honest.
Or 100. No, I'm sorry.
A 101 ranking. Brandon Ingram is an 82, and JaVale McGee is a 77.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see the look here of the Rondo one is kind of throws me off. I don't know. I mean, he's good, but Ricky Rubio was fantastic last year.
What do you think, John?
I think Rubio's probably suffering because of his struggles in the first half of the year. It took him a while to get it, I guess.
Yeah.
And also I looked up Dwight Howard's numbers, and even though teams just don't seem to be better with him, he still puts up decent numbers. I mean, last year he was 16 points, 12.5 rebounds, and 1.6 blocks a game. That on paper is a good number and a player you would probably want. Dwight's main thing is just locker room and team chemistry. He just seems to annoy everyone he plays with.
Ben Dowsett, and this is off game topic, but Ben Dowsett shared an article the other day saying that it was interesting about a couple Utah Jazz players, and it was a plus or minus article about players plus or minus after they get traded or moved to another team. And two players on that list were Ricky Rubio and Jay Crowder. Very interesting read, and I'm going to have to find it, and I'll share it with you if you haven't read it. But the guy who wrote it, swear he's an ESPN guy. I cannot for the life of me remember, and I'm going to have to go back and find it. But talked about their plus-minus impact on their teams before and after trade. And he talked about Ricky Rubio's slow start last year. He talked about how he finally settled in, came on as a hot shooter, and then he talked about what that means for the Jazz going forward this next year and how he believes that Ricky might actually start to come back down to earth a little bit on the plus or minus, and maybe we'll see. I don't know if we'll see what he was in Minnesota at one time anymore or not. I mean, it's an interesting read, to say the least. He talked about the assist numbers, things like that. Then he talked about Jay Crowder's numbers. One of the things he pointed to in there was the things that Crowder went through last year prior to being with the Cavaliers and prior to being with the Jazz. The fact that he lost his mother, the fact that things were starting to, he didn't get a training session in during the summer last year, was really not where he should have been throughout the year physically, and that affected his plus minus, because he talked about how good a plus or minus player and impact player he was for Boston and how he was not for the Cavaliers or the Jazz. And then he talked about his future. I'm going to have to find this, John. I'll share it with you. Very interesting read, and I'm glad Ben Dowsett shared it. Some interesting things, though, an insight into the plus minus.
Okay.
All right. Can we?
We can. There's more Jazz news, guys. You got to be in the loop.
What are we missing, Jazz news?
Donovan Mitchell works out with D Wade. That excite you?
Oh, did I miss that? I think it's good news.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Yeah, I like it because you know,
they're so similar in their play style. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Mitchell is like the second coming of D Wade. I'm trying to think if there's a current NBA player, because Kobe Bryant is someone I would love for Mitchell to work out with, but a current NBA player that I would like to see Mitchell work with more than Wade. Because I feel like Wade can really help him since they have a similar style and skill set.
Yes.
Also, we did not... did we say that the Jazz signed Trey Lewis?
No, we did not. But yes, they did sign him for fall camp.
So, are you okay with another Trey? We've had two bad ones in a row. Is the third time the charm?
Well, they'll wave him and send him to the stars.
That's likely what will happen. I mean, I don't put too much into any signings during fall camp because you just you're bolstering the roster through fall camp of preseason, and then you're going to trim it down. Agreed. By the time the season starts.
Agreed. And we'll end the Jazz news on this. Just so you know, Labor Day sale, 20% off your online order through the Utah Jazz store. Use code Jedi and Germs is the best. I'm just kidding. The code is Jazz Labor Day 20, and that is good now through Monday at 11 p.m. I'm guessing that's Mountain Time. So,
and we're totally getting a kickback from that advertisement.
We're not. But you know what? We love the team, and I would love to see everyone go out and get some Jazz swag when it's on sale. You know,
yeah,
get ready absolutely. For the season.
Absolutely. All right. John, let's get into the rest of NBA news and notes. This news late last night. In fact, Worldwide Wob? Is that what his name is?
Rob Perez.
Yeah. I love people tried to get his attention, and then he finally did a live video feed on it. And he says, first night of football and basketball has to steal the show. And indeed it did. What's the latest?
Houston has traded Ryan Anderson and De'Anthony Melton, their second round pick, to Phoenix for Marquise Chris, former lottery pick, and Brandon Knight, also former lottery pick. So this helps out Houston with salary. They are going to save, trying to remember how much, it was like $5 or $6 million a year salary wise, but then that's also going to reduce their tax bill significantly. It looks like that's Houston's main motivation. Phoenix, for some reason, Anderson took a pay cut to come. He agreed to go ahead and shave off $5 or $6 million from his second year to make the deal work. I think he just wanted out of Houston. I probably was tired of being a whipping boy there ever since he got there. His contract has been too high. He has not been a beloved guy around there. I'm guessing that's what's going on today. Get rid of that contract to save themselves some money. They are still on the hook for Knight's second year, but Knight's second year is $15.5 million, and they can decide if they want to pick up the option on Chris and, you know, keep this guy under rookie contract another year and see if the change of scenery can help him. My understanding is that Phoenix just was not happy with Chris, that they felt like he had a bad attitude and did not see any improvement between his first and second year, and it sounds like they weren't really seeing much improvement between his second and what's going to be third year either. So I don't know. Beyond that, I'm not really sure why Phoenix would have done this, but they sure helped out Houston with some salary relief. Houston has a couple guys that are going to be problems in the locker room, so they can see if their culture helps them out or if, you know, they just further weaken their own foundation.
So, interestingly enough, I tweeted out tonight, and a buddy of mine in Phoenix, his name's Yancey Evans, responds to me. He says, it's god-awful for us. We get rid of Knight's expiring next season contract to take on one not expiring for 2 years. just a dumb move. Plus, we legit have no starting caliber point guard, so I guess Booker stays there, even though he's really a shooting guard. And then he responds to me, unless they have some other trade up their sleeve for a legitimate point guard, no clue. All I know is we're still going to be awful. So Phoenix fans aren't very happy about it. And he makes an interesting point. Devin Booker, who's better served at the shooting guard, is going to have to play some point for them, probably.
Yeah, and the point about salary is maybe Phoenix wasn't going to pick up Chris's option and they were going to let him walk here, and that would have freed up money. Now they are committed to the second half of Anderson's deal. But again, maybe your friend reacted before the news came out that he agreed to cut $5 or $6 million off.
Yeah, maybe.
But that basically means that Anderson and Knight are about the same for their second year.
Interesting that they are. It's interesting to me that Anderson shaved that off, though. Very interesting.
Yeah, see, who knows? Well, I'm sure we'll learn more later. Maybe by the time people listen to this, more information will come out. My guess is that Houston wanted to try to buy him out, but they were looking for a way to get something like this done because he can keep more of his original money rather than agree to a buyout. And if they had agreed to a buyout, they would have had to stretch him. It would have just been painful for them for years. So I see why Houston. I don't really sure why Anderson gave him the deal unless he was just unhappy with his role there. And
yeah. Wanted that's curious to me. It just is.
I would think maybe it's a hope for more playing time. You know, do you think, I mean, once you've made so much money, and you kind of see your clock ticking on your NBA career, do you want to try and just log more minutes? And that's where
I don't know.
A fit like Phoenix comes into play?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the only thing I can think of that would make me give up $6 million, is if I went, you know what, I've got enough money. I only have so many years left. I want to be on a team where I'm able to contribute.
Yeah, he is 30 years old. He still has 2 years, so he's not going to get another big deal.
Right.
So it looks like this is just, he just wants to go somewhere where he's happy.
Yeah, maybe. All right, so then there's other news this week. The biggest news of the week being an NBA great, future Hall of Famer, said goodbye.
David West is retiring.
I thought it, but I wasn't going to say it because I thought
David
it was so disrespectful.
West. David West. No, I'm not talking about David West. Manu Ginobili.
To be fair, David West could maybe be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean, he was a fantastic player in New Orleans. But that's enough about him.
So yes, Manu and David West, call it quits, retire. We'll hit David West in a minute. Let's talk about Manu Ginobili. John, let's go with Manu.
4-time NBA champion, crucial six-man guy, was always the second or third best player on the team. You can't really picture the Spurs without him. Spurs big three was always Tim, Manu, and Tony. Tim started getting older. Kawhi came in, but now San Antonio, it's the end of a chapter. There's no Tim. There's no Tony. There's no Kawhi. There's no Manu. It is now, you know, Pop's still there, but now it is a team of DeRozan and Aldridge and whatever else they have around them. So, yeah, I mean, he was a crucial member of several championship teams. He should be a Hall of Famer.
King of the Eurostep.
Aye.
Everybody talks about him being the father of the Eurostep. And I'll never forget hearing Charles Barkley on TNT, Manu Ginobili! Ginobili! Anyway, yeah. Goodbye to Manu Ginobili. You love him or hate him, he had a great career. Great, great career in the NBA and internationally. Let's not forget, he played a long time overseas too.
I really like my favorite thing I think that I heard out of all this. I'm not sure if you guys saw. I believe it was Messi said that like Manu was considered the Messi of basketball, but he preferred to think that he was the Manu of football, of soccer. which I mean, just think about that for a minute. Like,
right.
Think about that level of praise. And when you look at the awards that Manu had, his award shelf isn't as big as I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I don't think it does justice for his career. Do you?
I don't know. Like, doesn't he have a gold medal too? I mean, he's four-time NBA champion. Yeah. Doesn't he have a gold medal with Argentina?
Right, but I'm talking like he only had like one Sixth Player of the Year award, didn't he?
John, did you can help us out on this one. Did he only have one Sixth Man of the Year award?
No, it feels like there would have been more, but I'll go ahead and look that up while you guys keep talking.
No, we want you to talk while looking it up. Come on, multitask.
Don't throw stuff on me. Okay,
here I'm right. There. All NBA in 2011 and 2008. Sixth Man of the Year in 2008. That's it. NBA All Rookie Team 2003. I mean, Ben Simmons is going to have like five of those by the time he's done. EuroLeague Final Four MVP in 2001. The Konex Award. Which is a cultural award, was received in 2010. And then the Olympia Award for basketball, 2003 and 2004. You know, then there's the team awards. But I don't know. I just – Manu is one of those guys that I feel like should have had, like, three Sixth Man of the Year awards.
Agreed.
You know, Jamal Crawford does.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you know Jamal Crawford has more Sixth Man of the Year awards than Manu Ginobili, and Manu Ginobili has been a mainstay at that position for as long as he has, I don't know. You're right, Devin. That's a disservice to him completely.
It's just kind of funny. Like,
yeah.
I guess my concern is that we're going to get 20 years down the road, and your grandkids are going to say, who's Manu Ginobili? And it's funny because I used to hate him. And I think you guys probably hated him too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, as time passes and you're able to kind of see the player that he was, the awards just do not do justice to what a player he was and how important he was to that dynasty.
My favorite side stories were with him and Pop. How often did he and Pop go at it? Because he was so freestyling and Pop did not appreciate that. And after a while, Pop had to adjust his coaching style and just let Manu be Manu, right? I mean, that's the kind of player Manu was. You let Manu be Manu, and you won't, you know, you'll give up some of those horrible shots sometimes in favor of some brilliance, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. Goodbye to Manu, and now David West. Yes. I was going to say former teammate of Ryan Anderson. Didn't he and Ryan play on the Pelicans together during that stretch with Chris Paul?
The Pelicans?
Before the Pelicans, it was the Hornets.
There we go. Yes, I believe they did.
Yeah. Seems a little early for David West, doesn't it, John?
Not really. He was part of the class of 2003. I mean, he's been around a long time, and most of the guys in that class are retiring. West was just one of those guys where he just decided he wanted a ring and he was going to spend his 30s going after championships rather than trying to keep putting up the big numbers and getting one last big contract. That's what it felt like to me. So no, I'm not surprised. It doesn't feel early with him just because of the way his career has gone the past few years.
Yeah, he kind of settled into that role player. It's still absolutely insane to me to think about these guys retiring from that class. And then you've got LeBron James doing LeBron James things.
Yeah.
You know, that
LeBron and Carmelo still playing, but D-Wade, did he finally retire?
I don't think he's made a decision yet.
I don't think he's made a decision yet either. But yeah, that's crazy. So David West had some great years in the NBA. Any other NBA notes, news, anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Sneaker watch.
Sneaker watch?
Sneaker watch. Do you guys see that the NBA is going to allow players to wear whatever color shoes they want?
On the court?
On the court.
Was that never allowed before?
No, they had to match their color scheme.
Oh.
So it'll be interesting to see the selections of players. I think there needs to be like a sneaker watch Twitter account or
there's something. There's going to be neon yellow, neon green, neon pink. You just know it.
And the conversation will no longer be, well, it's funny because we already talk about how dapper Rudy looks during games when he was sitting on the sideline or this or that. Now it's going to be about everything is going to be a camera pan in on somebody's shoes as they're playing.
Oh, the level of customization. Like you see all those ones that are done by, what is it, Kickstradamus? The custom shoes. Mm-hmm. It's gonna get fancy this year, I think. And I'm excited for that. I don't think it takes away anything from the game. Do you guys? Like, is it a distraction? No, it's not. It's not a distraction.
No, it's not
Devin.
A distraction. Okay. Sorry. I was waiting for John to respond. He didn't respond.
It's fine. It's fine.
All right. That's the end of NBA news and notes. Let's kick it over to Devin for some quick hits.
Utah has a perfect record, but I don't want to talk about that too much. You got me thinking about college football, and I think what we really have to spend our time with the quick hits, and maybe this will be our only one. I'll have to see how I feel. I want to talk about the 10-year anniversary of the University of Utah Football National Championship.
Somehow I knew this was going to come up on this podcast.
Can you guys believe it's been 10 years?
Seems like it was yesterday.
It really does. It really does.
Seems like it was yesterday that the Cougars won theirs, and that was been 34 years, right?
Utah's was 10 years ago. I was actually alive for that one.
You were alive for the other one, too. Wait, no, you weren't.
I was not alive for the other one. What would you guys do?
I remember it well.
Yeah. My dad had a political, he had a cartoon of the day after the game. And it was like, now I can't remember who the Ute was. Was it a Red Hawk or whatever was representing the Ute? He had Cosmo Cougar who had just had a bow and arrow and had just like shot him in the butt and the Ute was dead. It's like on to the national championship. So yeah, hung on for years.
Sorry, not sorry, Devin. John and I just hijacked your whole point of that quick hit. So
it's okay. It's okay. You can sit here and relive things from the mid 80s. I don't care because of the way I see it, there is going to be a banner at Rice-Eccles Stadium. And I think there should be. Would you guys run with it?
Okay.
No, well, I'm asking if your team, you wouldn't run with it. You would
only
so.
For fun and like smack talk, but yes. It's like I'm hollow about it.
John sums up Twitter of the last 48 hours in that one statement. It feels kind of hollow.
It's been so entertaining. An NFL note. Let's jump to something else. Let's stick with college football. BYU has a game. We have BYU fans. I'll give it to you. Who are they playing, and what are your expectations for the game, guys?
At Arizona, Saturday night. I have no expectations. John?
I don't either. I was just looking at their whole schedule, and I think if they put up a 6-6 season, then it's a win. Because Who knows what it's going to be.
Agreed. John summed up exactly how I feel, so yep.
Okay. Related to BYU football in a way. The Jets traded Teddy Bridgewater to the Saints.
Yep.
Giving Taysom Hill some competition in that backup quarterback spot and, you know, the future plans for the team. What do you think of the move?
I think it's a good move. And I don't think, I mean, since you're staying on the BYU subject, I actually don't think it hurts Taysom either because Taysom's fit into a special teams role and seems to have embraced it and has been very good for them in that role.
And I think it motivated him because he put up some pretty good numbers in their last game.
Yeah.
So are we bringing a challenger? All right. Let me throw up these numbers.
So let's look at this from the other side. Are the Jets banking too much on a rookie because they secured Darnold, I believe, out of USC? Should they have kept Bridgewater?
to be fair, we're talking about the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, right?
Should they have?
Should they have? What did they get for him? Was it like a sixth rounder or something?
I don't even know what they got.
Yeah, see, the Jets know what they're going to be. So if they can get something for Bridgewater, I think they're just moving that. They do want to ride or die with their rookie. If their rookie gets hurt, oh well. No one's going to fault them for going 2-14 if their rookie is out and then they don't have any good backup quarterback. But yeah, I think they just wanted another asset. They're going to develop them. Haven't put up a promising year. And, you know, once your quarterback's putting up numbers, and it's much easier to sign everybody else.
And I'm trying to bring up the story here to see what they got in return, but it's ESPN's being a little slow today. Let's try NFL.
It's the Jets. No one really cares. Should we move on?
Well, you know, that's why I said you brought up JETS, Jets.
I just wondered if you would be letting Bridgewater go.
Okay, traded
the Bridgewater.
They traded Bridgewater and a 2019 sixth round draft pick to New Orleans. I didn't realize it was first reported by Ian Rapoport either. But it doesn't say really what they got back. So
maybe they didn't get anything.
Oh, the Saints will surrender a 2019 third round pick as compensation. So there you go.
Yeah, but they gave up a pick, and I don't know. I don't follow it like I do the NBA in terms of trades. It just seems like, you know,
right.
Your rookie quarterback doesn't perform or goes down. Now what do you have?
So, right.
Also NFL related, OBJ got paid. Highest paid receiver in the league. Do you think he is the receiver most deserving of that?
Part of me wants to say yes, while the other part of me wants to say, can we get him to step up? Let's see him put it on the field like he should. Some years he's been good, and then there's other times where he just kind of disappears. So I'd like to see him perform now. Let's see it happen.
John? If not him, who should be the highest paid receiver? You know,
right? No, I agree.
And Antonio Brown is like the other one who's up there. I'm trying to think of who else is in that discussion.
Yeah,
and see, John, would you agree with me? I think Antonio. What?
I said Beckham's younger and more crucial to his team. They really, really need to keep him.
I agree. No, and that's why they had to pay that. Antonio Brown to me has been the more consistent, better wide receiver, hasn't he?
I think he was the number one receiver last year.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah. But when it comes to their new contract, I think it was smart to wrap up Beckham, even if it makes him the number one receiver, because he just might be the number one receiver this coming year.
Yeah.
So did you guys see Beckham's quote about being an entertainer, about kind of feeling like a zoo animal? Did you guys see that?
I did not. Beckham.
OBJ.
Said that?
Let me see.
Is this the one Scotty was talking about? I think so. Yeah, and where they're talking about level of fame.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I guess, on The Shop. Let me see if I can find the quote here. He said, "I really feel like a zoo animal. Like, that's where life's gone for me. You know, you used to take your kids to the zoo, and we used to be like, you know, I want to see the lions, or let's go see the lions. And I go out there, and the lions are laid out. You know what I mean? It's like, why aren't they doing lion stuff? You know what I mean? Like, I've got people who call out, Odell, dance. Like, I'm a show punk, a show monkey or something." Do you guys do you agree? Do you understand that point of view, I guess, for an elite player? Because I looked at some of the comments online. Let me repeat that. I made the mistake of looking at some of the comments online.
Right.
And people are just awful, and they don't get it. You know, and he's an entertainer. It's kind of like if you see a musician on the street, okay? Let's say you're walking down the street, you run into your favorite musician. Alan, you run into Taylor Swift.
What?
Do you expect, sorry, Katy Perry, do you expect Katy Perry to sing you a song on the street, on the sidewalk? Do you expect her to do a dance? You know what I mean? Like, do you, it just seems like, yeah, there's kind of this attitude towards players, especially animated players like Odell. Does this kind of make sense where I'm going with it?
Yeah. That's in general with fame. Like TMZ has just made the world a worse place. And yeah, part of the sacrifice of becoming one of the best players in the world is just losing your privacy, and everything's going to be under a microscope. And it's that much worse with the internet and social media. So I get that, you know, even though he's a millionaire, it's still his life where he's dealing with it. So I do get that, you know, some people are more private than others, and you know, it's sounds like it's wearing on him.
So I'm going to use a story here real quick. If you'll bear with me a minute, John will know who this is. Devin, I don't know if you will. A few years back, I was in JFK Airport in New York and waiting for a flight to come back home. And walking past, in JFK, they have these little bars where you can go, you know, kind of chill at the bar and order a drink or whatever it is. And I was walking by and I saw this bald man sitting there just kind of drinking by himself. And I looked and I did a double take and I went, wait a minute, that looks like David Alan Greer. And John, you know who I'm talking about, David Alan Greer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I saw him, and I'm like, that looks like it. And I look at my wife, I'm like, that looks like David Alan Greer. Tell me that doesn't look like him. So I finally went back over to the bartender and I says, isn't that David Alan Greer? And she and when I asked, she's like, she says, yeah, it is. And it's funny because I had run into another kid that was younger, and I says, isn't that? And he mentioned somebody else. I go, no, dude, David Alan Greer. So I looked at the bartender. I says, isn't that? And so I finally went over to him. I says, hey, you're David Alan Greer. He goes, yes, I am. I says, you mind if I get a picture? And he looked at me. He says, you know what, man? I'd appreciate not. And I get it. It's an entertainment business, whether it's sports, whether it's acting, whether it's, you know, whatever you're doing, it's an entertainment business. There's a level of expectation and pressure and weight on your shoulders now. But sometimes you just want to be left alone and want to be the regular guy. You know what? I looked at David Alan Greer. He says, I'll shake your hand, though. I shook his hand. I said, nice to meet you. I went back my way and I sat and waited for my flight. Didn't get a picture, nothing like that. That was it. But, you know, to your point, Devin, and it's an entertainment business, but people are awful, okay? If people are awful, it's okay sometimes to just leave the guy alone, right? Or just not right. Push the issue.
I think it's worse for these players, though, when they have this persona on the court. Like,
right.
And I don't know that everyone gets this, but I can tell you, like, just me as a person, when I'm playing basketball and it's not even in front of anyone, there's a different persona of me that comes out when things get going. You know, if I'm making my shot, you're going to see a little more animated behavior out of me. But you get these guys who are being paid the big bucks and they're performing at the highest level. You know, if Odell wants to pretend that he's a dog peeing on the end zone.
Right.
That doesn't mean when he goes out on the street, he's not just another guy.
Exactly.
You know, let these guys be people.
So, right. I agree.
All right. Another NFL quick hit. Aaron Rodgers got paid as well.
Yes, he did.
He got a lot of money. What was it, like 130?
Really good paycheck for what, 4 years, I think?
4 years, $134 million base salary, $103 million in guarantees.
Dang.
Is he worth the money?
Yes.
Yes. John, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. There's one more NFL thing that I want to come back to, but I want to touch on something that Stephen A. Smith said. And you guys are immediately going, ugh, do we really have to talk about what Stephen A. Smith said? And
I'm sorry, who?
Stephen A. Smith.
What Stephen A. Smith had to say.
My goodness. Just to kind of paraphrase, I'm looking at what they have on ESPN. He says, if she were a man, we'd be calling her the greatest ever. There would be no dispute. We wouldn't even be talking about Michael Jordan. We wouldn't be talking about Muhammad Ali. Serena Williams' greatness. Is she the GOAT? When it comes to athletes, who else is in that conversation? The only other person I can think of in that conversation is Michael Phelps.
So the point is, we don't consider the greatest athlete of all time, because I think most people categorize everybody. I don't think about who is the greatest athlete of all time. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time? It's Michael Jordan. Who is the greatest tennis player of all time? It's Serena Williams.
But here's what I think he's getting at. When you talk about Tom Brady, what do people say? Tom Brady is the GOAT. Tom Brady is the Michael Jordan of football.
I see where you're going. We put tags on him based on somebody else's greatness.
Right. And I feel like what he's trying to get at is, do we diminish women in sports? And this, again, kind of goes back to what you see online. The WNBA, no one cares about it. You know, oh, I didn't know that a kitchen was that big. The stupid, idiotic things that people say in the comment section. But do we do that? I mean, think about like women's soccer.
Right.
Do women soccer players get the credit that they deserve, especially in the States? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to world play, the U.S. women team is better.
I would argue that they are GOAT, that whole team.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, I do.
Like, and it's just kind of interesting to think about, because Serena Williams is, it's insane what she's done. So I don't know. This hurts me to say. Does Stephen A. Smith have a point? John, answer me in a Stephen A. Smith voice.
Well, this is very difficult for me to answer, because Stephen A. is a very good friend of mine. We babysit each other's kids. But you can't tell me that Serena Williams is the greatest athlete of all time when Michael Phelps walks this earth.
All right, that was totally worth it.
As far as to your... Oh, my gosh, John. To your point, though, you're right. And Serena Williams definitely deserves that discussion and that conversation, that light. She's phenomenal. She is phenomenal.
I just think it's something that we need to kind of keep in our mind when we're talking about the greatest athletes of all time.
Fair.
We really need to show more appreciation and respect for what women athletes have accomplished.
And you brought up WNBA. I mean, Lisa Leslie, hello.
Diana
Taurasi the other night, putting in that fadeaway
three
in a double team. Oh my gosh. The only reason why I don't watch it at WNBA is because we don't have a team here in Salt Lake. Otherwise, I'd probably watch it regularly.
I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but the young lady from Notre Dame who hit the two game winners in the Final Four in the NCAA championship.
So, yes. So
those are some of the greatest buzzer beaters that I've ever seen.
Women definitely deserve the discussion when it comes to the greatest of all time. Absolutely.
Last quick hit. Cap goes to court with the NFL. How do you see this shaking out?
How do I see it, or how do I hope? Because I really hope that Cap... I hope it's in favor of Cap. I really do.
I think it will eventually get killed. I saw that they think that it have enough to show collusion, but I just tend to think that giant money will prevail.
Yeah. And that's what I say. What I hope for and what I see happening are two totally different things. I'm with John on this one. Okay. Unfortunately, money's going to win out.
Okay. That's it for quick hits. Let's
move on. Yep. To pop culture. John, you have some things to talk about.
Yeah, I saw a couple movies this past week. First, I'll talk about The Meg. Either of you seen it?
No.
No, sir.
Heard about it, though.
Yes, it is a giant shark movie, and sometimes we just need a good giant shark movie. This was a movie where the budget got way overblown, and the studio kept bouncing it around, and it looked like it was just going to be this giant money loser. But it had a really good marketing campaign using Beyond the Sea, and It's actually making money. Now, is it any good? It's fine as long as the shark is on screen. The Megalodon, it's a cool special effect and cool creation, and I really enjoyed pretty much every scene that had that shark. It is a two-hour movie, and unfortunately, there is a lot of attempts at, using giant air quotes here, character development, and the acting is just all over the map. There are some actors who are so bad, I was just begging for their characters to get killed. But once the shark showed up, my hope was able to rise that maybe that character will get killed, and we could have some fun. Jason Statham is a decent action hero. He's not as good as, say, The Rock, who can make anything palatable. The directing, I had a big problem with directing. It's from John Turteltaub. He directed the National Treasure movies. And there are some times where he just doesn't know when to cut away and when to dwell on a scene. And so sometimes the characters are just staring at each other like he thinks the audience has been laughing for the next 10 seconds. And then there are other times where you just completely lose lines and kind of miss some plot points of what's going on. So I saw it on $5 Tuesday. That is the perfect price if you want to see the Meg, because special effects are cool. It's based on a series of books, so they're probably going to have a sequel. I know a lot of people enjoyed it. My son enjoyed it that I took. It's really dumb fun. I can't honestly say it's a good movie, though.
My son wants to see it, and my first thought when I saw the trailer, John, was 2018 Jaws, which is unfair to Jaws. Let's be honest, but that's what I thought right away.
It's a lot closer to Jaws 2.
Okay, all right, that's helpful.
Yeah, Jaws is one of the greatest movies ever made. This is more like Jaws 2.
Okay,
it's not just revenge. It's more like Jaws 2.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, my son wants to see it. We'll either go out and see it, or we'll do like we did with Pacific Rim 2, and we'll just wait till it comes out on DVD and rent it.
Mm.
All right. The other movie you wanted to talk about, I have heard a lot of great things about, and something tells me you enjoyed it.
Yes, I really enjoyed
it. Sorry, say that again. You really enjoyed, what was the name of it?
Black Klansman. For some reason, Spike wanted to have KKK in the middle of it. Every time you see it spelled out, it's Black Klansman. But it is based on the true story of Ron Stallworth, who in the 70s was able to infiltrate the KKK. Interesting thing about Stallworth, after the events of this movie, he then moved to Utah. And he was a Utah cop for 20 years. I'll put that aside, though. So in the 70s, he, a rookie cop, he was assigned to cover work. He was supposed to go undercover and investigate the Black Panthers and the Black Radicals in Colorado in the 70s. And so while he's doing that, he decides on a whim to go ahead and call KKK when he's an advertiser.
Sorry, hold on. You started breaking up again. So he started to do what?
He saw an ad that the KKK was trying to start a new chapter in Colorado. So he just called up, pretended to be a white guy, and they got excited that they were going to have this new member. And so he was able to get in with them. So when it came time for him to meet in person, he gets his partner, who's a tall white guy played by Adam Driver, to play him. And they try to make sure their voices sound similar enough that they can pull it off. And the movie is really, it's really funny. It's one of Spike Lee's funniest movies. Just the way all the characters are so ridiculous, and the way he's able to ingratiate himself with David Duke. And I also got to say, I really liked Topher Grace as David Duke. He just plays him as this friendly, genial guy until you touch on race and then you really see the evil come out of him. But yeah, I loved it. And the movie especially just kind of hits you with a punch at the end where, yeah, overall the movie's funny, but then it ends on this really powerful note. And I think it was really effective. I would not be surprised at all if this is a Best Picture nominee, if Spike Lee gets nominated. And I don't know if any of the acting will get nominated, although I thought Adam Driver was incredible. He's just so good and natural with everything he's asked to do here that I tweeted out, I do think he'll eventually win an Oscar just because he's so versatile and he's so good.
Right.
I highly recommend this movie. It's one of my favorites of the year.
So from a historical standpoint, and I know a lot of people bring these types of things up, did Spike Lee hit it on the nose pretty well historically?
No. There are a lot of plot points that he did, and there are a lot of plot points he threw in to spice things up.
Okay.
I'll just put it that way. I didn't look up the history till after I saw the movie, so you know that was fine with me. I think it might have subtracted from my enjoyment if I knew the embellishments that he made.
Okay,
but you know the main points, especially him being able to talk to David Duke himself. You know, a lot of is true. So yeah, I found it funny, powerful, and the best movie Spike Lee's made in a long time.
All right. So there's your movie watch of the week, folks. Meg, $5 Tuesdays, but Black Klansman, a definite must see. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. I can't even top that, really. I mean, the only thing I was going to mention, I've been reading the book Limitless. I don't know if you're familiar with that book from Alan Glynn, but the movie was based off of it.
Movie?
What's that?
Is that the Bradley Cooper movie?
Yes. Which, by the way, I enjoyed that movie a lot. I don't know if you ever really enjoyed it much, but I did. It was a good movie. The book, though, as I read it, very interesting. Everybody always complains that books and movies don't always line up. I've been impressed with a few minor adjustments here or there. The book and the movie actually line up quite well. I feel like they did a good job on this movie. Alan Glynn originally wrote it, and it was under a different name, I think, in 2001-ish. But anyway, then it was later changed to the name Limitless to match the movie. But the point I'm getting to is I decided to watch Netflix. They have running the only season ever created of Limitless, executive produced by Bradley Cooper, mind you. It became a cult favorite, and it was ended because it didn't do very well. CBS closed the book on it, I guess. I think it was CBS. But very interesting series that I'm watching on Netflix. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch any of the episodes. It's very bright. It's very... It follows an additional storyline off of the movie, but now Bradley Cooper is now running for Senate, and he does not make much of a show in the series other than a couple episodes here and there, but it follows the adventures of a new guy who is now taking the drug, and Bradley Cooper's trying to help him off and on. Very interesting dynamic, but the show overall, I kind of like it. I'm surprised that they canceled it after one season.
I never watched the series. I liked the movie. I liked the idea of it. I was kind of hoping the movie would do a little bit more with that, but you know, it's still one of those where you watch them like, man, I wish someone would try to test that on me because that just looks awesome.
Right? It's exactly how I feel. And reading the book, I feel the same way. The adverse effects of the drug, I think, are more embellished in the book than they are in the movie too. Like the character in, you know, Spinoza in the book, I mean, he seriously starts to get not just the dizziness and the headaches and stuff, but he ends up when he's on this drug after taking it too much, one of the adverse effects is he starts hallucinating and he starts doing things on this drug and not remembering them. So like he'll live and he clicks in and out, like he'll be doing something, all of a sudden click. And what seems like only 5 minutes later, he realizes he's halfway down the street in another hotel with somebody else doing this and this and this and this. He has no idea what he's just been through. And so he's living this life and he's not even realizing it. So the book does a very good job of just really talking about the adverse effects of this drug. But I'm like you, I wish they would test something like that on me. I'd be all over it. But if you get a chance, John, on Netflix, it's short series. It was only one season. It might be worth checking out. I don't know. You know, you can usually judge within the first few minutes of the first episode, but I'd be curious your thoughts on it if you get a chance. So, I don't think we have anything else. Devin, you have nothing else this week?
I finished The Staircase on Netflix. 13 episodes is a little long, but it's actually a really interesting case.
The Staircase.
The further you get into it. A murder documentary.
Okay.
So if you're into that thing, maybe check it out. Watching season two of The Good Place. I went through that in 3 days.
Very good show. Fantastic. Very good show. We're fans of it at our house.
I forking love it. I mean, that is the shirt. You know what I'm saying?
We're about to start season three?
Season three here
next month
up.
on NBC. So.
And then I watched a comedian. It was Eliza. It was the Elder Millennial.
Oh, yeah.
And
I haven't watched that yet. Is that good?
I watched Elder Millennial and I loved it. It is stand-up comedy. It is not clean stand-up comedy, but I found her to be hilarious and endearing. So if you're okay with some very strong language and adult subject matter, then enjoy it. If you're not, then maybe watch The Good Place.
Ted Danson's so good in that. So good.
So yeah, that's my Netflix watching. I'm sure I'll be, you know, jumping into another series here this week before a few other things come out. So,
all right, folks, that's your Jedi and Germs for this week, final week of August. Enjoy your Labor Day. Hope you enjoyed being along with us this week, as you are every single week. We thank you for your support. We thank you for listening. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. You can find us on anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs. Just look at us up and do us a favor and leave us a review. I didn't get a chance to thank our recent guest, Jared, who left a review on iTunes for us. Appreciate you very much, Jared, both for coming on and leaving us that review. Anybody else out there, please leave a review. We appreciate them very much. Thank you all. We'll talk to you real soon. John, take us out.
This is the part of the show where I say bye, everybody.